Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to this another service of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. It's good to see all of you here today. If you count yourself a visitor, you are a welcome guest, and we hope that you take part in the service. And to begin the service, we'll ask you to grab a gray book, favorite gospel songs, and let's start out with a toe tapper to wake you up. Some of you look like you're still rubbing your eyes a little bit. Let's make sure that we're awake. I'm not talking about anybody in particular that I'm looking at. Good to see everybody. Number 82, Heaven's Jubilee. Number 82. Y'all are doing so good, I want you to sing another one. Let's turn a few pages back to number 33. Good standard. Blessed Assurance, 33.
Thank you.
Brother Sam. Thank you, Sister Janice, for playing for us today. Good to see everyone out today. We're glad to have our visitors with us today. We thank you for coming out to be with us here at Murfreesboro Church. We are so thankful that each and every one of you came to be with us today. And as I said, we're glad to have our visitors with us, but we've got some of our members that's been out for a while. We're glad to see you back with us today. And we just appreciate each and every one coming back into the house of the Lord today. I hope and pray today will be a good day for us. We talked about the service of the Lord today in our Sunday school, and I pray that we all will serve Him. And when the Lord calls upon us, that we'll have the same attitude that Isaiah did when he said, "Lord, here am I, send me." Most of the time, though, we take the opposite way. What we generally say is, "Oh, Lord, not me." Right? Not now, Lord. It's not a good time for me. But he has a reason for everything that we do. And so we are to be thankful for the blessed assurance that God has given us in our salvation. But he also expects us to tell people about it from time to time. He wants us to tell people about it. So I hope and pray today that you will take the opportunity that we have today to try to do what God would have us to do. Whether it's something simple as handing out one of our invitation cards, or whether it's something simple like just saying, "I thank God for saving my soul." That's a good start right there, and I hope and pray that we will truly try to do whatever the Lord lays upon our heart, is what I hope we'll do. It's good to see each and every one out today. We're blessed to be able to be here today, and I hope you've had a good week, is what I hope you've had. But I hope you start off this week with a very good blessing. I do need to say, I understand you got a good rain down here yesterday. I'm thankful that you did. I pray you get some more, and I pray we get some too. So y'all just pray that the Lord will continue to send down his showers upon the ground and upon the flowers and bushes and trees. But I pray he'll send down the showers of blessing upon us today in this service. So let's be about God's business today in this service. We're going to move right on into our service today. We've asked Brother Chris to do another children's church today. So we're going to call on him, and he's going to be doing another children's church for us today. So all the kids, come on down. I think he's going right over here. Come on, kids.
To my lesson. All right, who knows what a burden is? What's a burden?
It's like something heavy to carry.
It's a heavy load. All right. So this is a burden, right? Is that a heavy load? Was this heavy? That's a heavy load. All right. Well, the Bible tells us about heavy loads. It could be like something you have to carry, or something you dread, or something you worry about. But the Bible in Galatians 6, and chapter 6, verse 2, says, bear one another's burdens.
Amen.
All right? That's in the King James. In the International Children's Version of the Bible, it says, help each other with your troubles. So we're supposed to help each other out. So if we take this big bag of burdens and we help each other out, can you have just one? We'll put it right there. All right? Will you help me with my burden? They're kind of dirty. I didn't wash my friend. Here, don't put that in there. Set that down. All right. Will you help me with my burden? You want to help me? Will you help me? Here, you can just sit right there. Can you hold that one? All right. Can you help me with my burden? All right. Okay. Now, will you stand up? Can you pry on my backpack? Can you carry that thing? It's lighted. Because we're all helping with each other's burden.
Amen.
Because that's what the Bible says. We're supposed to help each other out, right? So whether it's going to school, maybe in class, you got a new person in class and you want to help them out, tell them where things are in school. Sorry to get y'all all dirty. At some point, you're going to feel heaviness in your heart.
Amen.
And all the burdens are going to get on top of it. Mm-hmm. And nobody else can help you carry those. Right? So what you have to do, and some of you have already done it, is you have to take this whole bag of burdens to the Lord.
Amen.
And leave it with Him. So Psalms 55 and 22 says, cast thy burdens on the Lord, and He will sustain thee. So that's kind of some big words. So in the children's Bible, it says, give your worries to the Lord and He'll take care of you. So at some point in your life, all the burdens are going to get heavy and you'll know it. Nobody's going to tell you. You'll know it yourself. So what you end up having to do, you have to take all your burdens to the Lord and find you an altar somewhere and put them in your feet. It don't have to be right there. It can be at home.
Amen.
It can be anywhere you want it to be.
Amen.
But it's between you and God, and you leave it there, and He takes care of it.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Okay. I love you. I thank you for being here. So let's all stand up, and let's say this one verse. All right? Let's say it loud, because some of them are sleeping. We need to wake them up. All right. Galatians 2 and 6.
Galatians 2 and 6.
Bear ye one another's burdens. All right, thank you.
Good lesson. I especially like the last part where he brought it to the altar. And that's something that a lot of people miss out on, is carrying your burdens to the altar. And he brought it out very well right there at the last. I want to water what he said. A lot of people think the altar, the mourner's bench, as we call it a lot of times, is the only place you can get saved. But as I told a fella years ago, you don't have to be on the mourner's bench to get saved. Where you make your altar is wherever you're at. I've known people getting saved in cars, at home and by the bed and in bed, bathrooms and wherever. It's wherever you make that altar. And that's what we want to try to do each and every day, is carry our burdens to the altar, which is God. And especially for those that are unsaved, you go to the Lord with that burden of sin that's going on you, is what I would say. Appreciate the good lesson today. Brother Chris did a good job, as all of our brethren do for the children's church. We're glad to have everyone here with us today. Let's go on about our service today. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Yes. Lord, help. Lord, just remember this child in our prayer. Somebody else. Let's do continue to remember Brother Rowan in our prayers. Didn't realize until the other night that it was continuing on, but I talked to Sister Janice about it, and he's still having a lot of problems from that concussion, so let's do remember him in our prayers. Somebody else? Yes. Yes, ma'am. Good to have you back, Miss Sherry. Been out for a long time before. Now another short stint. We're glad you're back today with us, you and Brother Key. Somebody else?
Brother Greg, you're
the first to be in. Do you remember Brother Sonny and Sister Linda in our prayer? Somebody else? Lord, help. Let's do remember this in our prayers. Somebody else? Lord, help. Let's do remember this in our prayers. Good to have y'all with us today. We see them a lot of times with our in our singings, and we're glad to have you on Sunday today. Somebody else? We are glad to have each and every one of you with us today, and we hope and pray that you'll be blessed to be with us today. I do want you to keep in mind one other thing. On the third Sunday, we're going to be baptizing Brother Josh here, so we'll have a special service on the third Sunday, and we're going to have it in the afternoon because some of his family can come that way. So we're going to have it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And so everybody that wants to come back to church at 4 o'clock for the baptizing, you come on back. And so keep that in mind. And if you possibly can, come back on the third Sunday for that baptizing. But be prayerful for Brother Josh. He's starting a new phase of his life is what he's doing, being a child of God, not being saved very long, and now joining the church. Y'all pray for him. He needs your prayers, as all of our younger members need. We need to remember every one of them. So keep that in on your heart. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart? Appreciate each and every one being here today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer today, and we just ask that you would please pray today. Pray that the Lord would bless and use each and every one here today in this service. And so let's be about God's business today in this service, if you can at all today. Just say, Lord, here am I. Send me today. Brother Patrick, will you start our prayer, please?
I'd like to add my thanks to Brother Chris for doing the children's sermon. I appreciate the thought. And that's a good segue into the next song that we had picked out. It's got some parts, but I believe there's enough singers in here we can do this. Number 90, Help Me, Lord, to Stand.
Help
good, good. All right, let's back toward the front of the book. Number seven, I must tell Jesus. Thank you. Unless there's any other request for our next and probably last number, we're going to do my favorite, number 72. Oh, yeah. Y'all are singing so pretty.
Yes, you are.
There's a lot of songs that are written in the religious mode or in the hymn mode that I hear today that are probably written for financial gain, just because somebody will take a biblical thought and turn it into some melody. And I guess if the Lord is lifted up, that's well and good. Paul said, if Jesus is preached in vain, I'm glad he's preached. He said that on one occasion. But I believe there are some songs that are written in the spirit, in the vein of somebody feeling some impression to sing about a thought. They ain't never been one written any prettier than number 72, That Heavenly Home. Sing it loud, sing it pretty.
Thank you.
Thankful to everyone for the good singing this morning. Anybody got any words upon your heart this morning, words of testimony or anything? Go to the 21st chapter of the book of Luke. 21st chapter of the book of Luke is where we're going to take our thought from today. I'm going to ask you a question. Anybody get excited this week? You know what it is to get excited? You start thinking about, most of football season started this week, basically, is what it is. Of course, us UT fans, we were excited to see UT start playing, right? We'd heard a lot of people talking about it. What it could be and everything. People are excited about that, right? Was you excited to come to church today? Good. Let me ask you a question. We're going to read this reading lesson, and we're going to go back to this thought here in a minute. We're going to start reading in the 21st chapter. We're going to start reading with verse 25. And it says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations and perplexities, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up."
Amen.
"Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Is anybody excited to see the Lord come back? Good. We ought to be. That's what our message basically is going to be about today. If you're not excited to see the Lord come back sometime or another, I want you to be more excited today about the Lord coming back. I think that is the main part of this message today. Most of us have the opinion about going to heaven. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I just don't want to get on the bus today. That's kind of the way we look at it, right? As far as the Lord coming back, we look at it in this way. Lord, I'm looking forward to you coming back, but, right? Is there not always a but in that sentence right there? There is a but that says, but I've got some lost friends and loved ones. I've got kids that's lost. I've got neighbors. I've got those that I'm worried about. And so, Lord, I don't know. I still like the words of John the Revelator in the last chapter of the book of Revelation when he said, "Even so, Lord, come quickly." You ever wondered why he wanted the Lord to come quickly? He got a good vision of what heaven was going to be like. He'd got a good vision of what Christ was like. He lived with the Lord for better than 3 years and listened to him preach and teach. And John's words was in the last chapter of the book of John. He said, not all the books of the Bible could not contain the things that Jesus did. None of the books of the Bible could even contain it all, whatever he'd done. So he got a good taste of Jesus. And then in Revelation, in that vision that he got there that day, he got a real good vision of what heaven was going to be like. Now, I'm not going to try to preach to you today all of the things that we've got as far as rewards in heaven in that today. But I'm going to try to talk to you about one little part of it today. And that's going to be the change that's coming to everybody that's been saved by the grace of God. We experienced something different when we got saved, didn't we? When we got saved, we experienced a change inside of us that was truly more different than anything that we had ever experienced in our life. We had went through a time of trouble and sorrow and pain of sin that just really overwhelmed us, and we got down to a place where we were in so much trouble and pain that there had to be a change. That was what Brother Chris was talking about, that burden. That burden just weighted us down, and we finally got to the place where we couldn't tote it any further, and we carried it to an altar, didn't we? Not maybe this one, not maybe somewhere else in an altar of a church, but we found an altar. Maybe it was in a car, maybe it was in a bathroom, maybe it was in a bed, wherever it might have been, like I talked about earlier. But the fact of the matter, we carried that burden to the Lord, and in that moment in time, there was a change. All of that burden went away. All of that sin just left us. And we experienced for the very first time peace, didn't we? There was a peace that was beyond all measure, is the way I like to think about it. And that peace was so wonderful in that time that we just felt overwhelmed, I did anyway, with joy. Now, there was that little bit of time there where the devil got a hold of me and where he helped me down for just a little bit, saying, "Now, wait a minute, that's not it. That's not salvation. That's not what you thought it was going to be. You thought it was going to come this way. You thought it would happen that way." And he helped me down, I guess, 5-10 minutes, maybe a little bit longer than that, until it just came out. "Yeah, I think so." When somebody asked me, "Had something happened to me?" I said, "Yeah, I think so." And then there was an overwhelming joy that just started bubbling up inside of me that made me know that it happened. Salvation had happened. That was a big change, right? Is that what you experienced? I don't know about you, but I got excited after that. I didn't shout. I didn't just start running around and hugging people. I did hug a lot of people. They was hugging me too. But the fact of the matter, there was a joy that was different than I'd ever had before. But there's coming another change. He says here in this verse, "When you see these signs coming to pass, know that your redemption draweth nigh." Now, you might say, "Well, I thought we's already bought with a price, the blood of Christ." Yes, you are. Your soul has been bought with a price, and he has saved your soul, and you're going to heaven regardless. You heard my favorite song that says, "My name is already there, and I'm going there too. Just as sure as my name is there, I'm getting to go." So I have that assurance that is inside of me today. But the fact of the matter, there's coming another time when there's going to be a great big change to each and every one of us today. First question, everybody raise your hand to this. Has anybody got some sorrows on your mind? Most everybody. All right, try this. Has anybody got any pains in your back, legs, body, wherever? Anybody got that? Come on. Anybody got any other problems going on in your life today? Makes you sad to think about all these things, doesn't it? It holds you down to a great big extent is what I'd call it. It holds you back so much of the time. The worries of life just holding you down. But there's coming a day for all of the saved when that's going away. I talk about all those things going away, but we're going to talk about the change that is here. You know the reason why we're not going to have any more pains, no more sorrows, no more troubles in our hearts and in our minds anymore? Because there's coming a change. There, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. You see, not only did the Lord buy your soul, He also bought your body, is what He did. But I want you to see some scriptures today, and I want you to think about how that redemption, how He has purchased you, and this body that you see before you is not going to be in heaven. It's going to be a better body than this one, because this body has had to be worked on by the surgeons to make it where it moves a little bit better. This body goes through the pains of sickness and sorrows. This body goes through the pains of trouble in this life, is what it does. When you go over to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, we're going to give you a few verses from there today, and we're going to see how Paul talked about this change coming. Now, first of all, in the 18th verse, what he says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, I'm going to talk about the sorrows for a little while. I'm going to talk particularly about Paul's sorrows. He wanted to talk to them about their pains, their agonies, kind of like I did with you a little while ago. But the fact of the matter is, he says, I want you to understand, there is a glory which is going to be revealed to you in a coming day that is not to be compared with all of the pains and sorrows that you go through. There's times when I look at myself and I think, why can't I remember these things? Why couldn't I remember what that happened at that time? And I start to dwell upon that, and I think I'm getting old. But in that place there that day, I want you to know this suffering that we go through here is not to be compared with the glory that is coming to us. We are going to be able to enjoy a true glory of God. We'll be not only in our own glory, but basking in the glory of God. Now, you might not understand, and I'll be honest with you, I don't exactly understand what that glory will be. The Bible in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians talks about the different glories that are out there as far as we go through here in this world. But the glory of God is going to be something so wonderful that we just can't explain it. For he said in the 19th verse here in Romans, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the Son of God." Every one of us who are saved today, we have an expectation today, or we should have an expectation, of seeing the Son of God comes back. You know that Paul was expecting to see Jesus come back on the cloud in that day. I realize it's been probably over 1,900 years ago since that Paul wrote these words. But he was expecting the Lord to come back. Now, the other thing is, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He is going to come back. But he says, we have an expectation waiting for the manifestation of the Son of God. In Luke, what he was talking about, there'll be the signs in the heavens, signs in the sun, signs in the moons and in the stars. And we're not going to get into that too much today. Maybe that's a message for another day. But the fact of the matter, when we see those signs coming, he said, look up. Are you looking today for the Lord to come back? Are you looking to the clouds from time to time? That's usually the way we do it. From once in a while, we'll take a look up into the sky and we'll look at a cloud there and just think, well, could the Lord be on that cloud? I want you to know today, when I think about that, there is a part of me that wants to say, hoo-wee, Lord, just come on back. Lord, just bring us in. Come on in and take me home in that day. He said, we have an expectation, he said. 20th verse. For the creature was made subject to vanity, sin, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope. That was the man himself, Adam. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The creature itself is speaking about this body right here. There is coming a day when that we will have a glorified body. One that is going to be perfect in every way. What it says in Philippians in the 3rd chapter, I think it's verse 21, he says in that, that it is a body, a glorious body, fashioned after the body of Christ, is what it says. But now let us go back and look just for a moment at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I'm not going to the verses I spoke about a while ago. But I want you to see there's coming a change for each and every one of us today. Why is there going to be a change? Start out with verse 42, 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. He says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. You see, all of this is talking about the resurrection of the dead. You see, Jesus taught that there was going to be a resurrection of all people upon this earth. Amen. I mean everyone that has already died and gone on in this life is going to come back to life. You might say, well, how can such a thing be? I'll tell you the way I'm going to say it. Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. In Ezekiel, it said that that God took him out into a desert, and he said, look, and he said there was a valley of bones, men's bones, where it had been a great battle there. And what God said to him, Ezekiel, can these bones live again? Well, Ezekiel answered it in a right manner. He said, thou knowest, Lord. And he said, Ezekiel, prophesy, preach to them about me. Tell them about me. You see, what happened when Ezekiel was preaching? It wasn't Ezekiel, but it was God that done it. He said, bone came to bone. You know, the old song that was sung when I was a kid, he said the foot bone came to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone came to the leg bone, and the leg bone came to the hip bone. And I'm not going to go through the entire thing, but you get the gist of it. But God brought all of those bones back together, and not only the bones, but he brought the insides, the muscles and everything back together in that vision for Ezekiel, and then brought the skin back upon them. And what the Bible said, they laid there in that desert. But what the Bible said about it was, he said, Ezekiel, preach to them again. And when he preached to them, there came a wind, and the wind came into them life. Now, I'm not saying that's how that the resurrection's going to be. I'm just saying that's how God can bring life into something that is dead. Let us go back over into the Old Testament, in the 14th chapter of Job. And in the 14th chapter of Job, Job says in the 10th verse, he said, "But man dieth and wasteth away." That's what happens when somebody dies and they're put in the grave. Nowadays, they do a lot of cremation, don't they? And they burn the bodies up. But even if they just waste away, Job said, "Yea, man giveth up the ghost, the spirit, the soul inside of him." And he says, "Where is he?" And he says, "As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and dieth not, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more," he said. "They shall not awake nor be raised out of the sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave," is what Job said. Now, Job was a sick man at this time, and he was ready to put off this body. He was ready to die. And he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me." Now listen to what he says. If a man die, shall he live again? Well, the natural world today, they says it can't happen. That's what they're telling you today. But listen to what he said. "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time." He's talking about the appointed time that he'd be in the grave. He said, "Will I wait until my change come?" That's something to be looking forward to, I tell you. He said, "Thou shalt call and I will answer. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hand." You see, God made you in your body, and he made you like you are, and he's got a desire to bring that body back when you die. He's got a desire for you to be in his presence. He's got a desire for you to have a body that looks just like Adam's body did when before that he sinned. One that was pure, one that was able to be in the presence of God and walking with God. That's what God's desiring out of you. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. And he says about the body, "It is sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power." I'm going to ask you something. How many of you do any gardening? How many of you ever take a seed and you put it down in the ground and then you get a plant out of it? You know what happened before that seed sprouted? That seed died. It did. It died, but there was a seed inside of it that sprouted, is what happened. And that's what he's talking about here. It is sown in dishonor. I want you to know something. There's nothing good. I'm talking about being perfect and righteous in that way in our bodies today. But there will be a time when we will be raised. It's sown, he said, in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. Yes, a spiritual body, likened unto that of the Son of God. You remember what happened when Jesus resurrected from the dead? He came into the room where the disciples was, and he started talking. He came right through the wall or door or whatever it was, but he walked through that as a spiritual body. But then he turned around to them, and he said, "Yes, this is I. This is Jesus, your Savior." But he said, "Here, take me, handle me, feel me." He had a body that was not And then he took bread and ate it in front of them. In other words, he was a physical body, but he was a spiritual body that was a glorified body. Now, the next couple of verses kind of talk about the spirit there. But let's drop down to verse 49 for time. And he says, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, being that like Christ. It's what he said. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Whoa. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God? Why can't this body go to heaven? It's sinful, right? We're corrupted by that sin. Paul said, I die daily. If you talk to the doctors and nurses, they'll tell you there's so many cells of your body that are dying completely. That is corruption. And he said, we are neither does corruption inherit incorruption. You see, when you get to heaven, you're in a place that is incorruptible. It has no sin. It has nothing dying. It has nothing there that is painful. It has nothing there that causes any tears of agony or crying or sadness that is in there. All of that is part of the corruption of our body, isn't it? Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Die. You know, that's the thing about it is a lot of people today, they have in their mind, well, you got to die to go to heaven. Most of us will. Most of us will. But you don't have to see. Paul said, we will not all sleep. We will not all die. But we shall all be changed. Now, I could go over to 1 Thessalonians there in the 4th chapter and give it to you, but I want you to hear what Paul has to say about here. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Whew. You mean I won't have this old fat belly no more? No, I don't think so. Us older ones, you won't have those wrinkles no more. You know, we won't have that gray hair, I don't believe. But we will be perfect. A perfect body that will never have to suffer ever again. We are to be excited to think about the Lord coming back, if nothing else, for our own good. I do. I look forward to that day when he comes back. I also look forward to him coming back because I won't have to listen to these people arguing about whether this is right or that is right. Everything's going to be right then, and there's not going to be a difference of opinion about it. It's God's opinion, and that's what counts. But he said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, are you ready for that last trump? Luke said, quoted Jesus as saying, look up. Look up. Sometimes I think we're doing the Lord so much of an injustice because we walk through this life looking down at where we're going instead of looking up towards God and looking to see if he's coming back. That expectation that we should have. Let me give you a couple more verses. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. You know what it is to be immortal? You know, in the movies today, they talk about the immortals, how that these people cannot die, and how that they call them gods, in other words, in these bodies. That was part of what mythological Greece and Roman religion was, in that they called them immortals. They would live forever. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're going to be immortal. Truthfully, your soul is already immortal. But when God comes, sends his son back to get his children, and he calls them up out of the graves, and are we that remain, and we're changed in that moment of a twinkling of an eye, you know what? We're immortal. We're not going to be gods, but we're going to be the sons and children of God, in other words. We're going to be in that fashion, in that way. How many of you have ever watched a movie where somebody in a movie or a story read a book? I'll say it that way too. And in that story, there was some little poor individual that did not know who their parent was. And all of a sudden it came up and they said, "You're royalty. You're coming to the king's house." That's us. That's us who are saved. We're going to the king's house to live is what we're going to do. He said, let's wind this up, Brother Sam. Get ready for us here now. We got one more verse for you today. And we're going to 1 Thessalonians. And the fourth chapter, and all of the what Paul wrote before this is close to the way, actually it's more detailed as to the way the resurrection is going to go. But I'm going down to the last verse of this chapter, verse 18. And this is the reason why I'm preaching this to you today. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We that are saved today are to be comforted by this thought. The Lord is coming back. He's coming back and he's going to sound a trumpet and he's going to wake up everybody on this earth. And he's going to wake us up. Think about that. We're going to watch the graves burst open, as the Bible tells us. We're going to watch people going up into the sky. And just in a moment, we're going to watch them just for a second, I believe, is what that means. Then we're changed. And then we're going up. We're flying to the king's house, is what we're doing. Boy, don't that sound like something good. We're going to live with him, is what we're going. See, that ought to comfort us when we're going through the trials and tribulations of this world, when we're suffering with a backache, when we're suffering with our headaches, when we're suffering with our work, when we're suffering with everything about this life. Look up. Look up. Your redemption is coming. That purchased possession is going to be changed. Look up for him. Now, for those that can't say today, "I know," or "I'm looking forward to it," better start looking for him. Better start looking for that altar that Brother Chris talked about. You see, these lessons that we teach these little ones, we put it down to their size. We put it down to their minds. Brother Sam does a good job of doing that. Brother Chris did a good job. We try to put it down for them to listen and where they can understand it. But guess what? Sometimes it gets to us. Don't. You take that burden that you have today, the fact that you know that you're not ready to see Jesus this morning. You will find comfort in Him if you'll take that burden to an altar. This altar is here for you to pray. Your seat is a place for you to pray. If you have to run to the bathroom, you better go to pray. But if the Lord's telling you to go up front and pray, you better go to that altar and pray, because you're not going to get saved back there hiding. Amen. He's going to tell you, nope, you're going to come my way, not your way. Yeah, you got to come His way. He's got to accept you is what He's got to do. Keep that in mind today. He's got to accept you because you've got to meet His conditions. Not you meeting Him, meeting you, your conditions. While we stand and sing today, think on these things today. Are you excited to see the Lord come back? Have you been looking for Him? I hope you go outside today. Maybe and just look up. Cloudy outside. There's coming a day when the heavens will spread apart. Woo! We hear a trumpet sound. We'll look up. He's telling us to look up now, though. Even before the trumpet sound. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. You want to talk about signs? They're there, by the way. They're there. I'm of the opinion every single sign's already been met. I am. He can come right now. I got a hush. Go ahead, Brother Sam.
270.
Consider these things, we as a church, we need to consider these things too. We are to be rejoicing. Thank God that I know that I'm saved. Why was it?
270.